Thank you, praise team. Well, these children's messages are getting more and more interesting with the children, aren't they? I'm convinced that some of you parents have thought, you know what? We need to put our kids under the influence of Red Bull and 5-Hour Energy and then send them up for Pastor Mark. So great children's message, and please stop the Red Bull. Just kidding. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We rejoice that you have sent your gift of the Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives. And Lord, we know from your scripture that where the Spirit is, there your word is. And wherever your word is proclaimed, there your Spirit will attend it. So Lord, we now ask and invite your Spirit to do his proper work in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives this day, that we might be transformed, that we might be changed, that we might be led to repentance, that we might receive your gifts in this place this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I imagine most of you, I won't have you raise your hands, but I imagine most of you are on Facebook, okay? What I learned in the first service by asking people to raise their hands is there were people who didn't raise their hands, but I know that they're on Facebook, and all I can conclude is they didn't want anyone around them friending them, would be my guess. But who knows whether that's it or not. But if you spend any time on Facebook, you know there's this feature called Reels, okay? I don't know if you've seen it or not, but they're short videos, usually a minute or less, and they just suck you in. You can get into a reel spiral and realize, oh my gosh, I've been on this for 30 minutes, okay? Now, one of my favorite kind of genre of reels is when somebody has Jesus scared into them, okay? This is like when somebody is hiding in the refrigerator in the garage. The husband goes to the fridge, opens the door, and his wife pops out screaming, and he screams, and it's just hilarious. I love this kind of humor. There's other ones where somebody's walking down a hallway, and the spouse is laying in a room with only their head out of the hallway on the floor, and it scares the Jesus into them. And the reason I know they scare Jesus into them, because most of them say Jesus when this happens, right? There's also another great one, which is the guy who dresses like a bush. Have any of you guys seen this guy? He's a plant. Now, if there were a job you could get paid for, that's the one I would want personally. He just stands there, and everyone thinks it's a bush, so they walk in front of him, and then he jumps out, and it scares everybody, and they go screaming. Sometimes they fall. It's beautiful. But those aren't the reels I want to talk about today. Today I want to talk about some of the reels that happen when somebody is under anesthesia, okay? This is usually high school kids who have just had their wisdom teeth out, and out of love for their children, the parents pull their phone out and they record. And the kid's still under the influence of the anesthesia, and they say the craziest things. And I'm convinced parents record this because they know they might have to use it over their child at some point their senior year, right? The kid acts out of character. The kid says things that he doesn't normally or she doesn't normally say. They do things that they don't normally do, all because they're under the influence of that medicine from having their wisdom teeth pulled out. This is what it means to be under the influence. It changes what you say. It changes what you do. It changes how you interact with the people around you. Well, James today gives us a warning of what it looks like when you're under the influence of the world, unspiritual things, or even the demonic. He warns us that when we're under the influence of these sorts of things, we speak we act, we behave in ways that our Lord Jesus has not recreated us to act. Okay? Now, they always tell you in Preaching 101, when you need a negative example, don't use the people in your church, use yourself. So I won't use you. I'll use me to show you how things of this world can have an undue influence on you as a citizen of Christ's kingdom. For me, it was probably about 13, 14 years ago. And I was religiously watching cable political news. I mean, there were four or five shows every single night that I had to watch. And I started thinking about this message and thinking about the undue influence of the earthly, the unspiritual, and the demonic. And I thought, what is one thing that summarizes all of those? And I concluded, politics, right? All three. That's kind of a joke, a little bit, not completely. You guys look way more serious. Maybe I hit a hot button, I'm not sure. And as I reflected on the differences in me when I was religiously watching these shows, I wrote down some of the things that became true of me and prior to this were out of character for me. But here's what happened. I became jaded. I lacked compassion for people around me. I was easily triggered. I was argumentative. I was combative. And I believed that the world was in need of convincing, and I was the agent. All of these things, brothers and sisters, led me to react, respond, and behave toward others in ways that were not godly. Ways that you would look at me and say, you know what? That guy doesn't seem to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. There might be a spirit in that guy, but it's not the Holy Spirit. That's what it's like to subtly become under the influence of something. Now, that very same thing for you might not have that effect on you, but it did on me. And what Jesus is concerned about is me and the things that I am putting myself under the influence of that are not leading to the fruits of His kingdom. He's also concerned about that for you. I don't know what the thing is that you can have a tendency to get under its influence, but then it has this negative effect of producing the kind of fruit in your relationships that aren't the kinds of fruit that God wants to see multiplied. And I don't know what it is for you, but I know this. I know that the Holy Spirit in His work taps on you just as He taps on me, and you know what that thing is. It could be a group. It could be a person. It could be a website. It could also be another one of mine, the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, it leads me to be all sorts of angry all the time, and I finally had to realize this is not healthy if you need to talk to your doctor to prescribe something to watch a Dallas Cowboys football game. Maybe I need to back off of this a little bit, right? And I'll just admit, the only thing that has really helped me with this was Green Bay destroying the Cowboys in the playoffs last season, and it completely shattered my heart so much I don't even think it can be rebuilt or resuscitated. But I digress. James also gives us a hint, though, and this is where we really need to land on if we're going to understand the fullness of this text. He says in verse 13, the last portion of it, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Scripture tells you and I that God's wisdom is Christ Jesus. He is the manifestation in the flesh of God's wisdom. He is the one that we can look to and to see what does it look like to live under the influence of the Father's will, always seeking someone else's good. And you need look no further than your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is that influence. He submits to the Spirit. He submits to the Father. He submits to God's revealed Word. And He lives amidst sinners, and He lives in a world with brokenness. But just as James gives us a list of things we could look at, and there's 1,000 more examples from the world, we hear this in James too, the kinds of fruits that come when you're under the influence of the Lord. He says, we are peace-loving. We are gentle at all times. We are willing to yield to others. We are full of mercy. If you want to believe the earthly, the unspiritual, and the demonic are active, just look at how hard is it for people today in relationships or politics or in public to yield to others. Think about the Lord Jesus. He's arrested. He's accused falsely. He's sentenced to death. And He yields to those circumstances. Are they right? No. Are they godly? No. So why does the sinless, holy Son of God yield to these things? Because it's for your good if He goes to the cross. It's for my good and your good if He comes back to life on Easter Sunday morning, victorious over sin, death, the world, and the demons. He yields because it's for the good of you and me. And because He didn't fight at that point, at that time, there is salvation now available for all humanity. So how do we break those moments and times when we find ourselves unduly influenced by the world, by unspiritual things, by demonic sorts of things? Well, it happens first through the Spirit exerting His influence in your life at that time and at that moment. It comes through the Holy Spirit inviting you and I to come back, to turn back to the Lord in repentance. To acknowledge, I've been under the influence and I've been a participator in bearing the kind of fruit, Lord, that your children aren't supposed to bear in the world for one another. And I confess that as sin. And it doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit also brings us to this railing where we kneel to receive the real body, the real blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He enters into us with an influence that leads to your sins and my sins being forgiven. And it doesn't even stop there. It goes on in that meal through His divine influence that He leaves behind strength, and he leaves behind your being realigned under the influence of the Lord God and his word, and the strength to bear fruit in walking in that path. You and I are invited, called by the Holy Spirit to attend to his word, knowing that he will be a teacher, he will be a light to you as you study this word. And he promises that when you attend to this word, one of the gifts you will receive is you will be influenced by the truth and the spirit of this word, in your life. You will see, as you see today, examples of fruit. Some you don't want to multiply or produce, and some that you most certainly want to see amplified and multiplied in your life and in mine. My invitation to you is that when the Holy Spirit calls, when he gathers you before his word or his gifts, that you would open your ears, as Jesus says, to hear. And in your hearing, you would be influenced in a way that not only blesses you, but blesses all of those around you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is our old nature to be influenced by those things that are not good for us. Those influences match our disordered passions at times. And the fruit is sin. The fruit is hurt. The fruit is not living as one who has been born anew in Christ's kingdom. So, Lord, as you call us back through your Spirit to repent, may we confess those sins, whatever they may be. May we utilize the strength you give us in the supper to step out of that negative, sinful influence that is doing havoc on our spiritual life and our relationships. And may we, Lord, through your mercy and forgiveness, as you are God who is full of mercy, be forgiven, restored, and realigned under the influence of your word, which breathes love, mercy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.